Blog Talk Radio.
So, who do you think are the heroes for this younger generation today?
People like you with blog radio, the secret found out that you blog radio shows. I mean, those are the heroes.
Commend you for having this kind of discussion and commend your audience for listening. My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Today, I am honored to have as my guest the mayor of Durham, North Carolina, Mayor William V. Bell.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I admire you for, you know, taking on initiative stuff too, you know.
Thank you.
Continue to listen to Shirley's show and, you know, others that haven't, invite them to do so also.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Phil Perry.
Well, the honor is mine. I got this information, as you well know, through the record company. You came very highly recommended.
You're listening to Bar Rock Live.
And thank you so much for tuning in to Far Rock Live this Friday, March 13th. And don't let that scare you if you're superstitious. We have a lot to be thankful for this day. Today, my guest is going to be Reginald E. Daniels, who is the author of the book Getting Along with You Know Who, A Practical Approach to Relationship Building. We're going to continue our series today, and this week we're going to be talking about how to handle difficult people. And you know those people. Usually difficult people is someone who is working from a rather negative perspective on life rather than looking at things from a positive aspect. And Reginald Daniels will join me, as I said. He's a minister who has made it his business to share God's word as well as to teach us how to communicate effectively with our loved ones and our colleagues. Also joining me today is a dear friend, Henry Edmonds, and I have him on a line. Henry, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Shirley. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. Henry will co-host the show with me tonight. He has his BS degree from Shaw University, and he also holds a master's degree in secondary urban education. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, Henry?
Well, it's just what it says. It's an administrative degree in education, basically dealing with a lot of counseling and administration.
And so you definitely, in your counseling work, you definitely deal with a lot of human relation issues, specifically people having either problems with themselves or in relationships that are bad with other people.
Yeah, that, and also, you know, I'm a pastor, former pastor. I'm retired pastor, and a lot of experience in terms of counseling, in my pastoral counseling and that kind of thing.
And so you do get to work with a lot of people then in your pastoral capacity as well then. But, you know, a lot of times we don't have to be in a work-related situation because we deal with people on different levels every single day in every aspect of what we do, you know, whether it's conscious or unconscious, dealing with people that as we transact our business every day, as we just go about our daily lives, we're interacting with people on some level or another.
You're correct. There are transactions that take place every day between people, and one of the things that I've learned quite early is that many of the transactions that we have with people are not authentic transactions. They are ulterior in motive, which creates a real blockage of communication, and sometimes expectations are not met because we tend to have ulterior motives in our transactions.
That's an interesting point, and that's so true. And I guess that's a trust issue also, and especially in new relationships, because a lot of times you find yourself wondering what it is this person really wants from you. you know, and then sometimes that would put us on a defensive, and those defense mechanisms go up, and we're looking, we're trying to break through the facade that we see in this other person. And that tends to hinder relationships at some point, don't you agree?
For sure. I read a, had a book when I was studying in for my master's degree, called Transactional Analysis, and it dealt specifically with the transactions that we have one with another. And oftentimes, in terms of our communications with other people, we are using transactions that don't meet the expectations of the receiver. So the person who is initiating a conversation may be using a transaction that from the parent perspective, whereas the receiver is receiving it from a child perspective. And so you have a cross transaction there, rather than adult transactions. It's either a parent child or adult parent adult child, but never child or adult or parent.
That's an interesting point, because sometimes people are in that adult role so much, and especially parents who are used to being around children all day long, sometimes they carry that over in their adult world and have a tendency to talk to people as though they're a child. They kind of talk down to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would also be a hindrance to the receiver.
Certainly.
Fully understanding the message that the sender is trying to get across. And that would definitely hinder the communication process.
Yeah, it's interesting that you should get into this, because my wife and I are doing a Sunday school, a special Sunday school class right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're engaged in this Sunday school class that deals with one of the areas that we dealt with was these kinds of transactions, but from between husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
There are five kinds of communication patterns that we examined in these husband-wife relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they the expectation of the wife from the husband is not met because of a faulty transmission.
And by that you mean faulty transmission. Is that the way that maybe the wife is communicating to the husband and she expects him to respond or behave a certain way?
Well, that and oftentimes in terms of husband and wife, we call these like five different love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife language that she's speaking is different from the husband's language that he thinks in and speaks in. So, which creates the same kinds of faulty transactions that we were talking about in transactional analysis earlier.
So she's sending signals, and he's just not receiving it.
He's not receiving it because he speaks a different language.
I
think
language.
There was a book written that he's from Mars and she's from Venus, that kind of thing.
I was instantly reminded of that, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it David Gray is the name of the author or something, Gray? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. So how do you think you can overcome that barrier? Because she's saying something, she thinks he's not listening or he's not understanding what she's saying. So how do you work through that? How would a couple work through that?
Well, I guess the first thing is to learn to be honest in your communication and in your approach to each other. We learn at a very early age. At a very early age, even from childhood, to play games. There's another book that I read during the time that I was in undergrad and graduate school called "The Games People Play"
mm-hmm.
by Byrne. the book dealt with specifically the fact that we play games and learn these games early in our early childhood,
mm-hmm.
and these games follow us throughout life,
mm-hmm.
So that when you develop a relationship with somebody, you're not developing an authentic relationship. You're developing a relationship based on the games you play.
Mm, interesting. And then you get so used to playing those games, you just carry that on throughout your life, almost in all of your relationships.
In all of your relationships, correct.
Absolutely.
And in fact, the real problem with that is that the game becomes you, becomes part of so much a part of you until you don't even know your own true self anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that that every relationship that you are involved in is involved with this game that you play. And the game is a way of protecting yourself, not letting people come close to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not letting them see your vulnerability. The Bible says that when, you know, God made Eve and brought her to Adam, they were both naked and unashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were unclothed, but they were naked in terms of being honest and open.
Mm-hmm.
And what we learn from childhood on up is not to be honest and open, but closed and dishonest.
That's interesting. And we pick that up because, especially as kids, we have a tendency to exaggerate. I guess it can also be attributed to, what is the story of, was it the three little pigs where they kept telling a lie and nobody believed, the boy who cried wolf.
The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
And then not being believed. So I guess we tend to develop those stories as we go along, you know, because people would tend to believe that rather than the truth. And so,
like I said before, it protects us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
Absolutely.
Way of protecting us from being vulnerable
Absolutely.
And being hurt. Nobody wants to be hurt.
Absolutely.
So we develop a facade, and that does not let people come into the real you, and see the real you, and know the real you. And find out where you're vulnerable so that you can be heard.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for that input, Henry. And I do believe we have Reginald Daniels on the line.
Hey, how's everybody? Good evening.
How you doing, Reginald?
Doing good.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. I'm sorry just a tad bit late trying to get these the gadgets and all together.
Oh, that's quite
and,
all right.
Yeah, but it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I'm excited about your book. I just learned about it and read a little bit of a brief introduction about it, but it sounds like a really good piece of writing.
And it is definitely a good read.
Yes, sir. Well, yeah, it's definitely it's going pretty good. Sales are going pretty good and everything, and we got off to a good start, and it's going pretty good both locally and nationally now. It's beginning to pick up.
Great.
So we're excited about it.
So where did you get the idea to come up? I mean, the title itself is quite catchy, Getting Along With You-Know-Who, because we all have a you-know-who or two in
right.
our lives that we deal with on a regular basis.
That's right. That's interesting. Most people that I come across, the title is one of the first. That's one of the first questions that they usually ask me. How did you come with that title? It's so catching and all, and it's funny. The title was actually inspired about a year and a half ago while I was speaking to an audience. I'm a minister as well as a public speaker, And it was funny because at that time the topic for that particular speech was in regards to love. Don't know exactly the specific title, but it was centered around the topic of love. And the amazing thing about it was that while I was speaking, I made a comment about treating others right, and I later went on to say, and I'm just paraphrasing, that you even have to love you know who. And right then and there, while I was speaking, the words "you know who" just stuck out with me, and I knew I was onto something. I knew it was something about those words that I had to do. That I had to do something with them, and they just stuck with me like glue. And I knew that there was something there because I couldn't get the words out of my mind for nothing. Even during the duration of that speech, as well as afterwards, and it was shortly after that that I knew that I needed to include the words "you know who" in a book. Or something. I didn't know at that time what I needed to do with it, but later on, I was inspired to write the book, and I knew that I needed to kind of center the subject matter around you know who, mm-hmm. And so the Lord inspired me to write the book about relationships or overcoming challenged relationships, and then I kind of put it all together, the title and the material together. So that's how I come up with the title. But it's interesting. I get that's usually the first question that I'm usually asked. It's usually in regards to the title.
Well, it's definitely a fitting title for the topic of our discussion today, which is how to get along with difficult people. And like I indicated earlier, we all have a you know who or two in our lives. And as far as the context, I mean, just looking at the table of contents in the book is quite fascinating. And these are things that we deal with every day. These are real issues, you know, that we deal with. And this is a book that can help guide us in looking for certain traits and characteristics in these individuals, and also gives you a little hint or two on how to deal with those people. One of the things that you talk about very early in the book is bad attitude, and that's typically a part of you know who's makeup.
That's right. Yeah, I make you know who the center. I put a very strong emphasis on you know who, and I make it clear throughout the book that you know who could be anywhere at any time. And in any environment, at home, work, anywhere you have people or people are assembled, you know who can be represented. And I knew that I needed to put this material together for, and it was put together for Christians in particular. That's my target audience, and I wanted to be sure that I try to include the characteristics that makes up the you know who, so that we'll be positioned to identify them as we go or live or dwell or in these various environments. And some of the warning signs or the characteristics explain in the book. One is selfishness. They're selfish. They're usually, it's my way or the highway type of, attitude. Mm-hmm. And you said that you alluded earlier to the bad attitude. Oh, that's one of the main characteristics that mm-hmm. you will find in the you know who's or the people that's who are hard to get along with. They're often controversial, they're negative or very pessimistic by nature, they're confrontational, and I even included a gossip component. They have a hard time, as I explain in the book, they have a hard time, what I call, processing information. You know, we all get information, and but it's how you process that information is what makes the difference.
Right.
And
one of the things, Henry and I were talking about before you came on the line is that these defense mechanisms that people put up and these facades that they hide behind. Now, would that be a characteristic of a you-know-who person that they have, that's a defense mechanism for them for some underlying issue that maybe they don't want to deal with, they don't want to face about themselves? And so one of the points that you made is that they're also bullies. Like they try to dominate conversations, et cetera. So could
that's
that
right.
possibly be a defense mechanism for something else that's going on with them?
Definitely. In fact, I touch on that some throughout the book as well, that they have internal issues that they are usually dealing with or have been dealing with over the course of maybe over a short period of their lives, or even in some cases over the longer term of their lives, there are internal issues that they are usually dealing with that they're not in a position to address or don't even realize that they have those issues. But yeah, there are those underlying issues that they are dealing with internally that manifest themselves externally, and this is what we usually these are the characteristics that we usually face with them, you know. But yeah, it's an internal issue that they're facing. And it's funny you used the term bullying, because this is what inspired me to write the book. When I was a little boy around the fourth or fifth grade, we had a bully in our school who caused havoc in the lives of the majority of the students. And everybody was scared of this guy. He bullied everybody in the class, in the lunchroom, at the playground, and if you told the teachers about him, he'd even get worse. And I really believe that everything in our lives helped to shape us to be the vessels that God has called us to be. And I have two children myself, ages 11 and 7, and I always said that I hope that they never had to experience what I had to go through in terms of bullying with this guy. I mean, I feel that my experiences with this one bully, in addition to my low tolerance for bullying in general, is what really propelled me to write this book. And I kind of channeled my lessons learned and with my ministry leadership experience, and I put it all in written form with the hopes of just helping people to get along better with their peers.
Mm-hmm. Henry, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's it's a challenge to all of us to try to get along with people who are hard cases. but often, like I found that you may not be able to change that person, and in fact, you probably are never ever to change that person.
That's
but you
right.
can change your response to that person.
That's right.
That's the only thing that you have control over. Is yourself.
That's right. It's interesting, and that's so true. There's a passage of scripture that I ran across when I was preparing the material for the book, and I also use it in my seminars also when I'm doing my relationship seminars around the content of the book. In the scripture is Romans 12 and 8. It says, if possible, live peaceably with all men.
Absolutely.
If possible. And I usually emphasize the word possible on, if possible. And I think where we tend to fall short is that we really don't put forth the effort that we should to live peaceably with all men. It's a two-way street, any relationship is. And I usually try to emphasize in my seminars to, you know, that we have to go to great lengths to fulfill scriptures such as Romans 12 and 8. If possible, live peaceably with all men. And as you said earlier, in many cases it is not possible, and in a lot of cases it won't be. But it makes it clear that we should make an effort. An attempt. And so this is, you know, is where I try to go, is where I'm trying to go with this book, to try to help us to go the extra mile, to put forth that extra effort to get along with our peers and
individuals. Absolutely. And what I think is interesting, Henry, I was just writing on my notes just before you said it, that we can't change people, but we can change how we respond to them. And,
that's right.
And subsequently, and this is usually in the workplace with your coworkers, it's always going to be somebody that's
right.
difficult to get along with. And what I find when I come across a situation where I have to interact with a person who's very difficult, whether it's deliberate or that's just their natural inclination or whatever the case may be, after a period of time, because I'm not going to change who I am, I'm not going to lower my self-esteem. Certain borders, I'm not going to let anybody cross, and I'm not going to compromise. So I have to adjust my mentality and my thinking about this person, because when you give in to their bullying or whatever the tactic is that they're using, their negative attitude or whatever, you give them power over you. And that's what they look at. And once they see that little weakness, or you give them a little inch and they take a mile, they will, you know, go all out to try to intimidate or whatever the case may be in that particular situation. So I try to kill them with kindness and kill them with love. And nine times out of ten, you know, they may not like me, but they'll respect me in the long run. And that's my objective. I don't care if you don't like me, you know, but I'm not going to let you disrespect me. And then sometimes they do come around when they see that those tactics or those antics or those temper tantrums don't work with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's interesting you just say that, because, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies.
That's exactly
it's
right.
easy to love your friends and people who do good to you, but the real test for us is to find ways to love our enemies.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's out of Luke 6:35. But
mm-hmm.
love your enemies and do good. I mean, he made it clear. I mean, he made that very clear when he led up to the love your enemies. He said, you know, others who love those basically in their inner circle are going to do good to those within their inner circle.
We've got
to take it a step further. We've got to be higher. We've got to have higher standards. But love your enemies.
It only makes us better people in the long run. You know, we have enough of
that
going around, and we don't have to be a part of the problem. We need to be a part of the solution. And it's difficult sometimes. It is very difficult dealing with people who are, you know, manipulating, who are just being difficult just for the sake of it. It's really, really hard, and it's challenging.
That's exactly right. I mean, because, you know, you made an interesting point earlier that, you know, we give them power when we stoop down to their level.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, in actuality, in the spiritual realm, we, you know, and usually the one who gives in or appear to be the, as the younger folks say, the softest, are the weaker. But in actuality, it's the opposite. You know, you're stronger when you show humility. But in the eyes of society, it's actually the opposite. But that's a powerful passage of scripture, loving your enemies, and it goes on to say, and do good to them which hate you.
Right.
And I usually be sure to include that as well when I'm doing my seminars and speeches around a relationship. But and do good to them which hate you. And it's.
Question. I think this is the question in many people's mind that I've dealt with in these kinds of transactions, and that question that often comes up is, well, somebody does wrong to me, and I love them and continue to do good to them, they'll see that as a sign of weakness on my part.
Right.
and continue yep. to do me
push
ill. Because they see me as being weak. And
right.
But you are right in terms of the fact that that does not make you weak. It actually makes you stronger. But
right.
But that person who sees you feels that you are weak and will continue to dump on you. So how do you deal with that?
You have a chapter in your book, I think it's chapter 6, where it talks about take them out with kindness.
I was thinking about that one earlier when you it's entitled take them out with kindness. And when we know when we have the scriptures or learn the scriptures and hide them in our heart as we are instructed to do, and have a total faith and trust that the word will never fail, I think this is how it empowers us in our relationship. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians that I know you all you're familiar with, 1 Corinthians. I think it's around 13 and 8, the love chapter, where it says simply that love never fails.
Mm-hmm.
Never. And I like to emphasize never. Sometimes we want instant results. We live in a society where we want just instant everything right now, including our relationships. But I really believe that if we understand how love actually helps the other party and how effective it is when it's applied, and have faith in the word that it never fails, and just let God handle the results. And I think that's usually where we come up short. In terms of we'll try to manipulate the results, and this is where we fall short, I feel, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take a moment to give out the call-in number for anyone out there that's listening. If you'd like to call into the show and add your comments, or if you have a question for my guest today, Reginald E. Daniel, or Henry Edmonds, the number to call in is 347-202-0207. As you were saying, did you want to add something to what he was saying, Henry?
Oh, no. I think he hit the nail right on the head right there. That's perfect.
Right, because, it can only benefit us to try to get along with those difficult people. And who knows, they may change at some point,
That's right.
And a lot of times we have to kind of hold people accountable for their actions, especially
that's
as adults. You can't go around disrespecting or, demeaning people or bullying people all your life. You know, if you think about your childhood, the bully always gets beat up at the end.
That's right. That's right. The ending always.
I like what he said about love never fails. I mean, because oftentimes, we will try something and then we'll stop it. This is not going to work. This is not going to work. But, continue on. Don't give up. Continue to love. Because it never fails.
That's right. That's right. And usually the environment that we find ourselves in, the Lord in his he strategically places us where he wants us to be. For instance, we are with our spouses, we're there for the long haul or for a specific season. We work in various environments, and until the Lord tells us to move on or to we relocate or what have you, we're there. We're going to be Christians, but we're assigned to that location. And so this is one of the reasons I wrote the book, was to empower or put the necessary tools and resources in the hands of the Christians who may be having a hard time, difficult time dealing with individuals in those environments that they have been assigned. And so, and you know, if you're going to be at a place and the Lord has called you to be at a specific geographical area or specific job or home or what have you, then you've got to find ways to make the best of that season or your time there during that stop.
Absolutely.
That location.
And in that same vein, sometimes people, if we find ourselves always encountering the same type personality, the same type of difficult person everywhere we go, every time we turn around, we're dealing with that same personality, then we
right.
need to check ourselves and look, you know, it's something in,
right.
in me that I need to deal with in order
That's
to,
right.
You know, maybe grow and go to the next step. And again,
right.
that goes back to what we were saying earlier, dealing with that person is only going to make us better, you know, if we
right.
pass the test, so to speak.
Right.
So if you find yourself in a position where you're dealing with the same type of individual over and over again, it's something that you need to learn in that situation.
That's right.
It's like
That's
being
right.
promoted to the next grade. You're moving from nursery school to kindergarten to first grade to second grade, et cetera.
That's right.
Yeah, it also may be a weakness in you.
Absolutely. It could work both ways.
Yeah, that it's not them, it's you.
Absolutely.
That's right.
where the weakness is, and that you have to be more assertive, more stronger, and be able to handle yourself better in
right.
transactions.
That's right. That's right. And along those lines, and that's so true, I was led to put a section in the book focusing on yourself, as if you, it's entitled When You Know Who is Y-O-U. You may be the you-know-who in question, you know. Also, oftentimes, in terms of motes and beams, you know, it's easy to see the mote in your brother's eye, as the Bible spells it out, but often hard and difficult for you to see the beam that's in your own eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so sometimes it's us. We have issues that we need to address and deal with before we can even attempt to try to solve the issues of others.
So it definitely is an art to getting along with other people.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
That's
want to
right.
elaborate on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. There's relationships on every level. I mean, there's all types of relationships. And I kind of touch on it even in the book where even nations, they have relationships. Wars start and brew up because of bad relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn to understand the other party and your role, the reason why the Lord placed you here, you know, it would affect your decisions on a individual level as well as a, you know, on a larger scale. Wars start, as I said before, because of countries who are you-know-whos, so to speak. And just like the individuals may possess these signs or exhibit these signs, nations are the same way. You know, I can watch the 6 o'clock or 6:30 news, and you'll find countries who are acting selfish, controversial, bad attitude, negative, controversial. I mean, it's the same thing, but on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we understand that the Lord placed us here for a reason, and it the ultimate reason is to give him glory. It's the bottom line. So where, you know, whenever he puts us in a specific environment or household or community or state or a specific nation, it's to give him glory. That's the bottom line. And what we need to ask ourselves in our homes and on our jobs and in our communities, how can I glorify God in this house, on this job, in this relationship? So when I'm having issues with this troubled person on my job, okay, now there is something that I need to get out of this relationship while I'm here, because the Lord hadn't told me to move yet, so I'm here for now. Now, what, you know, I'm here to get something out of it, but in addition to that, God is to ultimately get the glory out of my stay here. So I'm to show or to exhibit, to magnify the Lord in every environment that I find myself in, and I'm to glorify him in some way or another in that relationship.
Yeah, that's, you know, reminds me of what we were talking about earlier before you got on the line about the vulnerability and the operative word here between nations or between people is fear of being vulnerable. That's
right.
Why we got involved in the war
right.
In Southeast Asia. That's why we got involved in the war
right.
that we're in right now over in Iran and Iraq, rather. It's the fear of being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And may get involved in Iran because we are afraid of being vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. That's
fear of vulnerability. And that happens in between nations as well as between individuals.
That's right.
Right. And we see that every day here in our own neighborhoods. You know, these kids are afraid of being vulnerable, so they join these gangs. All of a sudden they're reinforced, they're empowered, you know, their self-esteem is elevated.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't get along in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, then how do we expect, you know,
to go abroad?
Absolutely. And then you said something interesting, because it has to start in our own homes, you know, and
right.
a lot of these kids are coming out of homes where, I hate to say this, but some of these parents are very difficult to get along with. You know,
right.
and so these kids are dealing with that, you know, that falls down on this child. This child has to go out now to school, so the child has a bad attitude when it gets to school. You know, it's kind of a cyclic thing, you know. It trickles down. It's a trickle-down effect. It trickles down to the parent, from the parent to the child. The child carries that to the school. The teacher picks up on a bad attitude, so she's got a bad attitude. You know, all the other kids in the class have a bad attitude because this one kid is being disruptive. You know, it's a vicious cycle.
That's right. And, yeah, and that's so true. And I think it really stems from our lack. We don't love the Lord the way we are supposed to. Around Luke 10 and 27, it says that we are to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, once you really, really understand who God is, and we'll never fully understand on this side the way, you know, we think we may or what have you. But once we begin to love him and understand him and how he views us and how he loves that individual and the potential in that individual or that country, then we begin to handle our challenged relationships a little different. it all goes back to love. It stems from it.
Absolutely. And hopefully that love that we supposedly have for God
will
be demonstrated in our own lives.
Exactly. At every level.
Absolutely.
That's
and then
true.
Once people see that, you know, well, I can be as mean and nasty as I want to her, but she's still going to love me regardless, in spite of.
Right, right.
You know,
that's right.
When people are transformed. That's when the magic happens, you know, and
that's right.
You know, and that's when change takes place.
That's right. That's right. Now, because our concept of love is often, and I know y'all, you probably heard it before, it's based on a two-way conditional system.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you love me, I'll love you back, you know. And this is not how we're to base our love. We're to love in spite of the way we are treated by our opposition. And so it's, you know, I think one of the things, one of the hindrances that we face is we're just prideful. We're prideful on every level. And in order to overcome challenged relationships on any level, you have to learn to swallow your pride. I mean, pride is the hindrance of many a relationship, and I think that's the hurdle that many they straight up they don't wanna face it or overcome. I mean, it's just pride.
Did you want to add anything to that, Henry?
No, I think he's definitely right.
Yeah, and I think, again, it goes back to that self-love, because once we love ourselves and respect ourselves, that will definitely come across to everybody else. And we'll learn to respect, you know, the other human being or the spiritual being that's in that person that we're looking at and dealing with. And, again, that's sometimes a lot easier said than done.
That's true.
Because
that's No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, how can a man being crucified can say, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do, or Father, hold this sin or not this sin to their charge in case of Stephen. It's bigger than us. You know, when our enemies are crucifying us, God still loves them. He loves them the way he loves us, and he cares for them. There's hope for them, and ultimately it's so that God can get the glory out of our lives and our situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so regardless, I mean, they were at the point of death and still praying for the enemies, you know.
Right.
And here we are, not being literally stoned or crucified, but was, you know, and we feel that, you know, just we give up or don't, not willing to put forth the effort to make it better.
Right, and if we continue to focus on the negative in that person, we kind of minimize the positive,
right,
and I think
right.
people have a tendency to do that. And you alluded to that earlier when you were talking about the mote in somebody's eye. You know,
yeah.
we can't focus on the negative. We have to, and a lot of people, they're not used to hearing good things said about them because, you know, they may have grown up in such a negative environment that that's all they know because we learn through our environment a lot of times.
Right. That's right.
And so if a child is growing up in a household where there's no demonstration of love, and then that child grows up to be an adult who doesn't know how to give love, and so how would you deal with a person like that, Henry? And I'm sure you've run across people like that during your time of pastoring and counseling people.
Oh, I've run into situations even worse than that.
I'm sure.
Believe it or not. But, you know, the only thing that we can do, like I've said before, is control how we react and respond to other people. We've got to continue to love them in spite of their selves. That's all we can do in many cases because we can't teach them by giving them a lecture. We can teach them by our actions only.
Right.
One situation that I was involved in, let me see if I can do this without divulging any names. the situation was this, my wife and I always like either took my wife or a deacon to meetings when I met with people. Well, this one situation, I had my wife with me, and we just stopped past the lady's house to see how she was doing, because she hadn't been to church in a while, and neither her or her husband. They had been sick, and so we stopped by to see how they were doing. Well, time went on, and I thought everything was okay. But I guess about maybe 2 or 3 weeks went by, and she showed up at a deacon's meeting and accused me and my wife of cussing her out. Well, now, anybody that ever knew me from childhood knows that I don't cuss. That's just not in my vocabulary. I can find words to say if I really want to. If I really want to get you straight, I have a vocabulary that I can use that does not include four letter words. but anyway, she showed up to Diggins meeting, and accused my wife and I of coming to her house and cussing her out. Well, all I can say to this woman is, God forgive you, I love you, and let it go at that. And, if the deacons believe that, that's their problem. Because I'm not going to try to defend myself for something like that, But eventually she came back and apologized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a half apology, but you have to understand it was the best she could do.
Absolutely. and that was probably a very hard thing for her to do as well.
Yeah, it was difficult, very difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, and I accepted it, believe it.
Absolutely, good for you. Because one of the things that you talk about in your book, Reginald, is to know your role in any relationship.
That's right.
And the and your purpose is always to take the high road to victory.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think that's what Jesus was going when he said, love your enemies. Because, enemies, when you have an enemy, if you stoop to that level, it's hard to distinguish one from another or whatever. But if you take the high road, that ultimately gives God the glory. And that's what we're here for. We're here. We're assigned here on earth for a specific season to give him glory in our lives and through our relationships. And taking the high road ultimately gives him glory. And now sometimes we don't know how. We have to go to him for specific ways on how to take the higher road.
And
I
was going to ask you, can you give an illustration to the listening audience in case someone, because everybody that's listening to this show isn't a Christian, so they may not be able to relate to a lot of things that you're talking about. So for someone who isn't a Christian and whose objective is not to give God the glory, what would you say to that person as far as taking a high road and what it means to them to do so?
Well, first of all, it's tough. When you don't have the Lord working with you or in you, it's tough taking the high road because it all goes through him. So I would tell the non-believer, first of all, to give your life to Christ so
Amen.
That you'll be empowered to take the high road when those challenges come. And so that would be my first step,
mm-hmm.
Because I feel that it's a losing battle trying to love that we are supposed to love, and to get along the way we're supposed to get along without being empowered from by God on high. So that would be their first step. But for those who have already given their lives to Christ, there's ways that and I broke it down in the book that, you know, prayer, just simply praying, Lord. And I usually go to the Lord when I encounter you know who that pop up in my life or whatever. I pray and I call their entire name, Lord. John Doe or such and such is, I'm having a time with them. And, you know, I pray for them, mm-hmm. You know. I pray for their family. I pray for their well-being. I pray for, you know, that they have success and prosperity. And I pray for them. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I'm a firm believer that the Lord hears and answers my prayer. And I stand firm on that. And so when I take that person before the Lord in faith, knowing that the Lord will honor my prayer, that ultimately helps my relationship over time when I encounter that person over, you know, on a daily basis.
And then sometimes it may be even necessary to remove yourself from that situation to get away from it so you can get a different perspective, kind of clear your head and give that person time to clear their head. Change all that negative environment.
That's right. And it's funny. It's good you said that because usually when I pray for that individual, he'll do a number of things. He'll remove me, he'll remove that person, or he'll just change their hearts or allow something to happen. It's just funny, and every case is different, and he'll handle every situation just a little different. But it ultimately we're to go through him.
And like you said, it a lot depends on the significance of that relationship. Because earlier Henry was talking about a class that he and his wife teach with husband and wives, and those kind of loving relationships. And I think you may have alluded to this in your book, the importance of visualizing a loving relationship. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. Instead of always focusing on a negative, see that relationship.
Right.
You know, the way that you want it to be, a successful relationship where you're both communicating effectively and resolving problems and finding solutions to whatever those issues are.
That's right.
You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head when you indicated that the first step is to be in Christ. You can't say it any better than that. If you want authentic relationships, you need to be in Christ. There is a divine human connection. We learn love by the love that God gives us. We learn to love others by that love that he gives to us. And so once we can truly love him, then we can love others. We cannot have an authentic love relationship with another human being unless you love Christ.
That's right. That's right. That's true.
90 beckons.
So we have about a minute left to the show. We're going to wrap it up. You're listening to Far Rock Live. My guest today is Reginald Daniel, the author of the book Getting Along with You Know Who, and it is a practical approach to relationship building. And do you want to tell our audience, Reginald, how they can go about getting a copy of this book?
Okay, sure.
And contact you as well if they, you know, have any further questions.
Okay.
60 seconds.
My personal email is rdauthor@gmail.com. That's R as in Reggie, D as in Daniels, author@gmail.com. My website is divineinterceptions.com. That's divineinterceptions.com. And you can just contact me personally by email if you need any coaching, seminars, or any thing, any speaking engagements or interviews, feel free to give me a buzz via email or through the website.
Thank you for that information. And Henry, thank you so much for co-hosting with me. It's been delightful. I appreciate it. Is there any contact information you want to give out to the audience to contact you for counseling? Okay. Well, I'd like to take this moment then to thank the sponsor of tonight's segment, Allstate agent Mr. Ernest Green, owner of Allstate Insurance Company, located here in Durham at 2310 South Miami Boulevard, Suite B1, Durham, North Carolina, 27703. And you can contact him for your insurance needs at 919-484-2493. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being on Far Rock Live.
Man, thanks for having
participation.
Us. Good to meet you, Henry.
Nice meeting you. I'm glad we'll meet in person one of these days.
Here's to
yes,
you.
Sir. Yes,
thank
sir.
You so much. And that's going to do it for our show today. I am your host, Shirley. Thank you so much for tuning in to Far Rock Live.